Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the act of favour of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Luke's Gospel chapter 7, verse 41, Jesus speaking. There were two debtors of a certain creditor. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. But as they had nothing to pay, he forgave both of them their debt. So which of them therefore will love him most? Matthew's Gospel and chapter 15. Matthew's Gospel chapter 15 and verse 29. And Jesus, going away from thence, came towards the Sea of Galilee, and he went up into the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, having with them lame and blind, dumb, crippled, and many others. And they cast them at his feet, and he healed them. And then finally, Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And hope does not make ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. There's two great issues which are exercising the authorities in this land at the moment. One is, I suppose, a health issue, this disease that's affecting so many and has brought mayhem across the world. And the other is the immense cost that is being incurred in seeking to deal with this issue. On one side, we have a disease for which as yet man has no remedy, no cure. You know, man in his arrogance likes to think he can deal with everything. But this little virus has shown, you know, how feeble man is. And on the other side, you know, we have immense costs being accumulated, immense debts racked up in seeking to deal with this matter. And, you know, men haven't the slightest clue how they're ever going to pay off these debts. I've no intention of having a coronavirus preaching tonight. Just simply to bring to our attention, you know, these two issues. One, this great disease, and one, the cost in dealing with it. They're both facets of the glad tidings tonight. Because there's a disease abroad in the world which is far more virulent, far more dangerous, far more deadly than this virus. It's the disease of sin. You know, men like to measure mortality rates in the so many per million. I think they say something around 460 per million is the mortality rate in this land. Do you know the mortality rate for sin is a million in a million? It's 100%. Reminded in the gospel last night by Phil, last week by Phil. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, everybody, man, woman and child. You can't go down the street, you know, there's no point going out in the middle of the road to avoid the person coming next part, coming the other way, because they've got this disease just as you have. All have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. And this scripture takes it a step further. The wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. And my friend, let me tell you too, that the debt of sin that you and I have is accumulating day by day. In the balance sheet of your life, you know, sin accumulating day by day, a debt that you and I can never repay. Perhaps you think, what a miserable preaching. And I've no intention in that sense of occupying you wholly with the awfulness of the disease of sin, other than to alert you to the greatness of your need as a sinner. What I really want to occupy you with, you know, is the one who is the great physician, the one who has a remedy for your sin, the one who has paid the debt and paid it in full, that you might be free of the burden of your sins. What a wonderful glad tidings, you know, we have to present. There's no remedy so far for this disease in the world, but there is a remedy for sin. There's no one can pay the debts that are accumulated by this disease, but the debt, you know, of your sins and mine has been paid by Jesus. Paid in full. Paid in blood, you know, at the cross of Calvary. Blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from every sin. Oh, what a wonderful message we have to proclaim in the gospel. But my friend, to get the blessing, you must first accept the depth of your need as a sinner before God. Amen. All have sinned, and the wages of sin is death, and no one can escape it, my friend. And you need to have to do with God tonight about your sins. Thank God that's what God is doing in the gospel. He's appealing to you and I tonight as sinners, that we might have to do with him and find that he's provided the perfect remedy, the perfect cure for your need and mine. So this passage in Romans, the wages of sin is death. Solemn word, isn't it? And how thankful we are for that word, but. How thankful we are for that word, but. You know, many of us remember preaching in this room many years ago by Eddie Hollands. It was the butts of scripture. I don't know whether he did, but I'm sure this would have been one of those that he took up. Because this is wonderful. On one side, it presents the hopeless condition of man. On the other side, but the gift of God, as it says in the Authorized, it says here, the act of favour of God. The gift of God, it says in the Authorized version, eternal life in Christ Jesus. How thankful we are, aren't we, for this but in Scripture. That God has a remedy. He's provided a remedy to meet the need of your sins and mine. And so, as I said, I don't want to occupy you exactly with your need of a sinner, rather to draw your attention to the one who has met your need, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's made the journey from glory down into this poor world, that he might come and meet the need of ruined man. And so I read this passage in Matthew's Gospel. I didn't have in mind to read it, but I was struck with it just the other day. It's a lovely picture. The Lord Jesus sitting on the mountain, and they all come to him. You know, just before this, the Lord had made another journey. He'd gone off into the region of Tyre and Sidon, up in the north of Israel, outside of the bounds of Israel. And you know why he'd gone there? He'd gone there because there was one woman, and her daughter was miserably possessed by a demon. Really, just a picture to us, you know, of someone under the influence and power of the enemy, someone under the power of sin. And you know, the Lord Jesus made a journey from where he was to go up to meet that need. She was outside of the realms of Israel, but the Lord knew that person was there, and he knew that she had a need of him. I love to think of that, you know. You think of the Lord in his footsteps here as he went from on that journey across to Tyre and Sidon, the dusty pathways of Palestine. You ever thought about it, you know, the footsteps of Jesus? And as he walked that way, he would have left a mark behind in the dust of the streets. You ever thought of the wonder of that, you know? That the Son of God has actually walked upon this earth. Think of that, you know, his footsteps on this earth. The Son of God, the creator of the universe, such a glorious, mighty person, has stepped down into his creation. And he walked those dusty pathway in Palestine. Oh, I think it's lovely, you know, to think of it. And you know, those footsteps in one sense, they remain. Because the Lord never left this earth as he found it. I love to think of that too, you know. Everything changed with the incoming of Jesus. What a marvellous thing it was, you know. God manifest in flesh. Scripture, hymn writer says, oh wonder of his universe. What a wonder it is. To think, you know, that God has intervened in his creation. He's looked down and he's seen us. Poor, needy sinners in all our need. Unable to cure ourselves. Unable to pay the debt, God has intervened from his own side. Last of all, he sent his Son. Oh, how beautiful it is to think of it, you know. We're lost, we're ruined. But God, did God give us up? Never, never. He's looked down and seen us in our need, and he's provided the remedy. Just like, you know, when Abraham and Isaac were going up the mountain. Isaac says to his father, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham says, God will provide himself the lamb. Think of that, you know, God's righteousness, his holiness, his perfection, you know, could not have a sinner in his presence. And yet in the love of his heart, he wanted the sinner to come into his presence. How could the two be reconciled? Only God could devise such a wonderful plan, a plan of salvation. And it meant that the Lord Jesus would have to take that journey from the glory down into this earth, and he might walk those footsteps. Lovely, you know, to think of that woman that he met. There she was. You know, what did she say to him? She says, Lord, help me. help me. There she was in all her need. She could do nothing about her condition or the condition of her daughter. And she had no claim upon him. Just like you and I, you know, we've no claim upon God whatsoever. The only thing we can claim is his mercy. And that's just what that woman did, she said. You know, she said, Lord, help me. Have you ever said that, my friend? Have you ever felt the burden of your sin and of your need and cried out, Lord, help me. I can't do anything to help myself. I need thee. Oh, my friend, that's the urgency that is needed in the gospel. To realize, you know, the depth of your need and your sinful history shuts you out from God's presence forever and ushers you into eternal damnation. Oh, thank God, you know, for the glory of the Lord Jesus, the one who's come to meet your need. Lord, help me. And what does he say to her? Thy faith, you know, according to your faith, so be it. He says, you know, he hadn't even seen such great faith in Israel. She took the place of a dog. She didn't come saying, I deserve blessing. She didn't come saying, I can earn it. She came in all her need. Lord, here I am. Help me. And that's what you need to do in the gospel tonight. You've no claim. You can't say to God, you need to save me. Thankfully, you know, God has provided an answer. He's provided a remedy for your need in the Lord Jesus. And all that's required, you know, is that act of faith to trust him. And so we have here, you know, the great physician. He took that journey out to Tyre and Sidon. And here he comes back to the area of Galilee. And it says he went up the mountain. Lovely to see it, you know. It says Jesus went up into the mountain and sat down there. I don't know, it just appeals to me. The Lord Jesus and who he was in all his glory. And there he was, sat down on the mountain. It strikes me, you know, the reality of his manhood. And how near he came, that he was so approachable to those needy persons. They all came to him, didn't they? They came up the mountain. What does it say? It says they brought to him the lame, the blind, the dumb, the crippled, many others, and they cast them at his feet. Oh, you think of the pathway of Jesus here, you know. Went about doing good, healing all that were afflicted of the devil. And that was the pathway of Jesus. That's what we see here. The great physician in action, you might say. As he healed all these persons, as he healed them all. Wonderful, you know, to see it. Tonight, you know, in the gospel, we present to you the great physician. And he's not just the physician of the body. He's physician of the soul. And my friend, tonight, your need of your soul can be met by Jesus. It says he went up the mountain. It speaks to me tonight, you know, of where the Lord Jesus is. Tonight, you know, he's in heaven. He's been on this earth. He's taken that journey to Calvary's cross. He's laid down his life there, borne the burden and penalty of sin in its fullness. As he suffered there, you know, under the hand of God, in those 3 hours of darkness, bearing the penalty and punishment of sin in its fullness. The Lord Jesus went into death. But you know, the third day God raised him from the dead. Marvelous triumph. There was no way the Lord Jesus could be left in death. God delighted to select him from the grave. And after many days, he's ascended into heaven. In that sense, you know, he's on the mountain tonight. He's in glory. And he's available more so tonight than he was even here. What it needs, you know, is for you to put your trust in that Saviour who is in the glory. Come by repentance and put your faith and trust in him where he is. Glorious Saviour who can save to the uttermost all who believe in him. What a Saviour he is, you know, the great physician. May you come to him tonight in all your need. Well, I read this passage in Luke. Lovely scripture. Sorry, I've lost it. Oh, here we are. Luke chapter 7. And here's the Lord Jesus, you know, in the house of Simon. I just read this passage, you know, just in relation to this matter of debt that I was speaking of. The Lord Jesus takes this up. He says to Simon, you know, there were two debtors of a certain creditor. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. You, my friend, are a debtor to God. Your sins, you know, have made you a debtor. Every single one of us is a debtor. And the Lord is dealing with Simon here, and he says, you know, there were two debtors, one 50 cents and one 500. I guess that Simon thought, well, he wasn't too bad a sinner. He wasn't too bad a debtor. I think it's the other way round, you know. I think Simon was the great one, the great sinner. But nevertheless, it made no difference. The point isn't how much, how great their sin was. The point was that they were both sinners and they had nothing to pay. And that's the condition of you and I as sinners tonight. We cannot do one single thing. We can't lift one single, we can't lift a finger to relieve one piece of our debt before a holy, righteous God. Our sins, you know, have separated us from our God. And one sin shuts you out of heaven for all eternity. Oh, how solemn it is, isn't it? We're debtors. We're debtors to God. Wonderful thing, you know, in the gospel. You know, the debt that was owed to God has been paid by God in the person of Jesus. That's what he did on the cross, you know. And the price was so immense. It was the price of his precious blood. Peter tells us, precious blood, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish, foreknown indeed before the world's foundation. Yes, there was only one thing that would suffice for a holy, righteous God to pay the price of sin. And that was the price of a perfect sacrifice. And that one, there was only one who qualified. And that was Jesus. That's why he came. He came to pay the debt that we owed, because we could never pay it. Thank God, you know, for the incoming of Jesus. Thank God for his death on Calvary's cross. Thank God for that precious shed blood. Thank God he's raised him from the dead and he's ascended in glory. You know, it provides a righteous, absolutely righteous, just basis for God to forgive the sinner tonight. Wonderful, you know, those 3 hours of darkness, they ended with those mighty words. It is finished. It is finished. What was finished? The mighty work of salvation, you know. He'd borne the penalty and the punishment of sin in full. Paid in full. Wonderful, you know. That work upon the cross of Calvary. Every debt paid for. Amen. So that if you tonight will come as a needy sinner and claim the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, you'll find, you know, that your debts have been paid. That burden of sin that's weighing down upon you can be lifted and removed forever. Oh, how wonderful. How far are our sins removed? As far as the east is from the west. So far has he removed our sins from us. God has a righteous basis tonight to lift those debts of sin that you have once and for all. And so it's wonderful to see, you know, debts paid. You know, he has a remedy for the need of your soul. He has the remedy for the sickness of sin. And he's paid the price that sins might be dealt with once and for all. What a wonderful gospel we have to proclaim, you know. I don't want to depress everybody, you know, with all that's going on around us. We have something far brighter, something far more wonderful. The glad tidings of the glory of the Christ. And so I just read this verse in Romans. Chapter 5. It says, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. I understand, they think, you know, that this virus going around today, I think those that have been affected badly by it will probably bear some scars of it for the rest of their lives. So they'll perhaps never get over it completely. You know, this matter of sin, this sickness of sin, you know, when God deals with it, it's wonderful. You know, the heart that is so full and burdened down and weighed down and full of a sorrow and sadness, all those things, you know, that fill the heart of the sinner. You know, when a person comes to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith, has their sins forgiven, God pours into his heart, you know, the calming, the beautiful balm of his love, shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Oh, think of that, you know. That's something worth having, isn't it? The love of God shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, which he has given to those hearts which he has given to us. Oh, how wonderful, you know, the glad tidings is. We have a Saviour, you know, who can meet our every need. And God provides the Holy Spirit to help us on our journey here until that day when we're called to glory. It won't be long, you know. I think every one of us is probably deeply aware of the current situation around us and how, you know, it's speaking to us of the days in which we live. So near the end of this dispensation, things are heading up. The end of this day of grace is shortly at hand. The Lord is coming for those that trust him. And then he's coming, you know, to reign supreme in this world. The one who's cast out, the one who was rejected, the one who went out of this world upon a cross is coming again, you know, to reign supreme. Amen. And every knee will bow to him. Amen. Now tonight in the gospel, God invites you to bow the knee to Jesus, to own him as your Lord and Saviour. If you refuse, you know, my friend, if you refuse to acknowledge the Lord Jesus, you will have to bow to him one day. And you'll see him as a judge. God is going to judge the world in righteousness through the man whom he has appointed, through Jesus. Think of that, you know, the one who's cast out of the world is the one who's going to judge the world in righteousness. Oh, how wonderful, you know, to come to know him tonight as a saviour. How solemn to come to meet him as a judge. You will have no standing before him, you know. No man that stands before that great white throne will have anything to rest on. All will be silenced, naked and laid bare before the one who knows your heart absolutely. What a solemn moment that will be for those that have rejected Christ. You know, you have an opportunity in the preaching to accept the Saviour. How solemn to reject the overtures of grace by God in the gospel. Don't do it. Come to the Saviour tonight, put your trust in him. For time and eternity, he has got the remedy to meet your every need. May you know him for his name's sake.